My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Breaking Bad duck feed show about El Camino and also Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad and Vince Gilligan and this show Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And Bryan Cranston, who's in Breaking Bad.
And Malcolm in the Middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get a little cameo of Malcolm in the Middle.
We do.
Hal, in the beginning of this episode.
It's uncanny the amount of makeup they put on him.
Mm-hmm. He looks like the wax sculpture from Reanimator, the wax-headed corpse. It's uncanny. We're at the end of season three.
We are, and what a finale. If you like a sense of impending doom that does not let up, boy, do I have an episode of television for you.
Yeah, and a premiere for next.
Yeah.
Next one. And it gets balanced out with what I think is like the second worst cold open.
Okay.
In the series. I hate it. But other than that, it's wonderful.
Pretty on the nose.
It's ludicrous. Yeah. It's up there with the Soul one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the weight of a soul? This episode, written and directed by Vince Gilligan, the first one since the pilot. Mm-hmm. He did both. Originally aired June 13th, 2010.
Yes. And we're in Aftermath Town. Every episode's Aftermath Town, but this one specifically. Jesse just killed those two dealers. And
Walt just killed those two dealers.
Well, yes. Sorry. Walt just killed those two dealers to protect Jesse. Related to the killing of Tomas, Gus wants Jesse's blood for driving things to this point, but Walt doesn't want to give him up.
And Gus also wants Walt's blood.
Of course.
And this is a thing. It's not silly, it's my guys or whatever stuff. This is really dangerous.
Yeah.
Killing two people in the middle of the town is a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
This drives things this very untenable standoff. Gus does not want to work with Walt anymore. Walt is not reliable.
Not reliable.
You know? Yeah. He's no longer reliable. You know, should have trusted his instincts in the first place.
Yeah.
But he can't let the lab set dormant. It costs too much overhead.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot take a week off.
No. And we also get a glimpse in this of the cartel pressing him.
Yes.
You know, like, he staved them off for a little while.
That's a really good scene.
Yeah.
In this, I forgot that was part of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun scene,
yeah.
But it's also really good for, again, kind of expanding Gus's motivations.
Yes.
You know, like in a simple level, like a Mo is their leader way of watching this. You're like, oh, he's mad because he's unreliable and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's under a ludicrous amount of pressure.
Right.
And this is the worst time for him to have it.
Yeah.
Given that he has been making moves.
Yes.
You know, against the cartel, doing things like him doing the 1 minute.
Yeah.
You know, setting up the cousins to go after Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. He's playing chess and he does not need this scrutiny.
Yeah.
From a loose Walt.
So, like I said, huge sense of dread. We know somebody's going to die, and this is the last episode with Gale. He was ignominiously fired, so Jesse could be Walt's partner, partially because of, for control reasons, but partially because Walt feared that exactly what is going to happen is going to happen. He gets killed at the end of this.
Yep.
And we get more Gale and some flashbacks. We get a little bit of him in Better Call Saul. Mostly like
we get just one scene.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That is the cameo. I thought there was more. Shit. Yeah.
I thought so, too. It would make sense. But no, there's just one little scene with him. Some trivia came through online. I listened to the podcast for this.
Okay.
And it is just people thanking each other and telling each other that they're good.
Yep.
Even for the season finale, I wanted better than that. You know, didn't get it. This trivia is widely available, but it's cool. So the pork pie hat, the Heisenberg hat, comes back. That hasn't been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Bryan Cranston decided to wear it. He wore it to keep the sun off of his head.
Yeah.
In the desert. He was cooking his brains.
Yeah.
And it kind of became the signature confidence wear came back as a function of him being a bald man.
Yeah. It's very funny to look at behind the scenes photos of those shoots because like they have like PAs who are parasol assistants, you know, like they're people holding up the umbrellas over the actors. So they don't get what's that episode? in Better Call Saul, the Long March one. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name. Yeah, yeah, 4 days out, but not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Other trivia: we didn't know Mike or Victor's names before this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of hard to understand, and I feel like, you know, last episode they had Mike, they had this fixer in,
mm-hmm.
this PI. The last episode where they reveal that he works for Gus.
Yeah.
And he has that brilliant monologue. This is, you know, they, oh shit, you know, Jonathan Banks is a treasure.
Yeah.
We have to use him. This guy has to have a name and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he's, you know, he's the tertiary, like the secondary or tertiary main character in Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Yeah. Like they, you know, they know that this is a rich vein.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But this is really, you know, yeah, it was, you know, the last episode for sure, but also seeing him get a name and come back was really cool, even at the time, because it was like, oh, this awesome guy is going to be here. Like, I just, yeah. Mike's here. We're all going to be taken care of, even though he is menacing as hell in this.
I can watch him do anything.
Yep.
You know, there's a common criticism of Better Call Saul that any of the cartel stuff in it is a waste of time and it should all just be, you know, Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy and Kim. And I disagree with that.
Yes.
Criticism. Like, yes, you know how the cartel stuff ends,
mm-hmm.
because it's more directly a prequel stuff, but I want to see Mike do stuff.
Yes.
You know, I would agree that it's like slightly less special, but every minute is a gift,
mm-hmm.
of Jonathan Banks on screen.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Mike Ehrmantraut, nature's all-star.
Yes. One of the all-time best characters.
Yeah.
Let's get into this wretched cold open here. We see the house where the Whites live, and it's empty. We recognize immediately by that breakfast bar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a realtor waiting, and Skylar and Walt walk in, young Skylar and young Walt.
Yeah. It's 1993. Skylar is pregnant with Walt Jr. And mm-hmm. Walt has his hair and is wearing a cool leather jacket.
Yes. He's full Hal mode. you know, and the realtor says, yeah, I'm gonna give you some privacy, look around the house. And Skylar has done the research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this nice little echo of their current dynamics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar is the practical one.
Right.
You know, this is car wash buying Skylar.
Right.
Here, you know, and Walt is skeptical. He is eyes on the principle of the matter.
Right.
Which is true to Walt's character
and
in real times as well.
And also you know? Ambitious. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I say the principle, I don't mean the principle like don't murder.
Yes.
I mean the principle like I should have this,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of regardless of what that looks like.
Yeah. He wants to set their sights higher, you know, saying we're going to need at least mm-hmm. 5 bedrooms. We're going to have 3 kids and we'll need a study, mm-hmm. you know, for his work at home and for her novels. And Skylar says, you know, just like, hey, this is the best we're going to get in this price range. Very practical things. It's a good neighborhood. The schools are good. You know, we can, mm-hmm. we start here and then we go.
Yeah. He says, what's the point of a starter home? Mm-hmm. You know, he's pushing back.
Right.
And she says, I've done the research. This is the best we can get. And he says, come on, why be cautious? We've got nowhere to go but up. This is the kind of cheap irony that, again, I think is below this show.
If 3 days from retirement irony.
It 100%.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, the way I remember the scene was him just being like, there's nothing bad's ever going to happen to this house.
Yep.
And it's not quite that.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that different from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We cut the first scene after this is Walt out in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
The front of his car is busted up from hitting the dealers. There's still some blood on it. The windshield's broken and he's waiting, watching the horizon.
Yeah.
He's got to meet. This is like the day after.
Right. And Gus pulls into view, you know, the SUV with Gus's folks pulls into view, but stops, you know, kind of just at the horizon, just at this hill. They're going to make Walt come to them. And he gets a call. Mm. It's Mike. You know, Walt needs assurances. And the assurance Mike gives is, I assure you, I could kill you from all the way over here if it makes you feel any better. Whenever mm-hmm. Mike talks, I pull a quote basically.
Yeah, because it's all really good.
Yeah.
I don't think this is what they were intending at this point, uh-huh. but we're going to find out later that Mike is a military sniper.
Yes.
That's what he did
mm-hmm.
In the military. So he could kill him from that distance.
Yeah.
Walt grabs his hat, dons it and starts doing this walk.
Yeah.
There. Mike walks in. They meet in the middle of the screen. Yeah. Beautiful shot.
And, yeah. You know, Mike frisks Walt and maybe and, like, check under the hat, you know?
Yeah. Love that.
Man, where is Mike at the end of season four?
Yeah.
And says, hey, you've been real busy. You know, I haven't slept since Thursday.
Since Thursday. You know, cleaning up. I need my sleep, you know? Really like that. And Walt, I love Walt. You said this is some of the most they ever get along.
Uh-huh.
You know, because he's, you know, you said no half measures. He goes, yeah. Funny how words can be open to interpretation. And I love this scene where they're walking away. And he goes, you get your car fixed? He goes, you know, not yet. And then Mike says, you're going to want to get your car fixed. And then Walt goes, we'll see how this goes. I love that line so much. It is, I think that there's like this mutual respect that's happening in this thing. We'll see how this goes. Like, they all know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really like that.
So they approach the SUV. Victor gets out and Gus, you know, stays for a moment, you know, looking at Walt and gets out. And asks Walt, hey, has your medical condition gotten bad? You know, or is there ringing in your ears? Are you seeing bright lights or hearing voices? Because no rational person would do what you just did.
Why did you do it?
Yeah.
And we're in fury Gus mode.
Yes. You know
which we love.
Explain yourself. And just...
explain yourself.
Yeah.
So good. You know, Walt, I had to stop my partner from getting shot. You know, and Gus says, you're worthless junkie. You couldn't keep the peace for 18 hours. And he's like, yes, he couldn't keep the peace because he thinks maybe you ordered the killing of Tomas, you know, this boy killed and he didn't go. He's like, you should let me handle it. He might've thought you did it.
Yes.
You know, and this is a great, you know, two people stealing negotiation, you know, playing this verbal chess of saying what they, you know, not saying what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you asking me if I ordered to murder a child? And Walt holds his ground and says, I would never ask you that. Like, let's just not force that truth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
or saying, I would never ask you that. You know, I'm just accusing you of it.
Yes, like, exactly. Like, you know, or at the very least, you know, Jesse thing, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. You know, it wouldn't have mattered.
Gus's outrage at this is, I think, genuine. Yeah. It reads as genuine. If he wants to, if he wants to hide something, he can. So I do think that he takes exception to the idea.
I think so too. And again, it draws attention.
Yes.
Right. And that's the whole thing that Gus does not want.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he says, where's Pinkman? And Walt says, I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he's two time zones away at least. He has infinite money. You'll never catch him. And I give Mike being like, I don't know, Walt. This is what I do.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. And Walt wants to start again, saying, like, hey, you're pragmatic. Jesse's out of the picture now. We can forget this ever happened. This can just be a bump in the road. I owed Jesse his life. I owed him at least saving him. So it's time to look at our options. You know, you could kill me here, track down and kill Jesse for basically no reason. And then what? Right?
Yep.
Option B, continue to cook and they forget that whatever happened with Jesse happened.
Yep. And Gus, you can see the wheels turning, you know, Gus says, you'll need a new assistant. Walt says, I'll get right on that. Gus says, no, I'm going to choose. And then leaves. Gus looks like he's agreeing to this. He's not.
No.
You know, he's agreeing to this very temporarily. And as they leave, Mike goes, your car, get it fixed. And again, there's this little bit of mutual respect.
I love the impressed little look. When Gus seemingly agrees to the terms, just like, okay, well, you know, there's a reason we had this happen out in the desert and you walked away from it. So good job.
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too bad, man. So Walt drives back to the laundromat, in his car. He parks next to a Subaru Outback with a Ron Paul sticker, a Free Tibet bumper sticker, and a recumbent bike on the rack.
God.
And looks at it in a way that is so good.
I just, all of the set dressing on Gail, they tell a complete story about this person's life.
His apartment's incredible.
I took freeze frames and I wrote down everything that I saw. Like the Subaru with both Free Tibet and Ron Paul, the recumbent bike. It's like, oh my God.
Really good. Multiple overlapping rugs over carpet. There's just a lot going on with Gail's apartment. And things have changed.
Yes.
Now his key doesn't work. Victor lets him in. New policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gale's waiting. He's all suited up. You know, they shake hands and things are a little bit cool at this point because Gale still thinks he may be messed up.
Right.
You know, a little bit, or seems to. You know, Gale does not have a lot of subterfuge.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, you can see what Gale says he generally means.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I assure you whatever happened,
yeah,
I will do it your way. Mm-hmm. And Walt's like, this is fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No.
You're always fine. I'm doing a whole other thing.
Yeah. There's a, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Then we get James Bond Mike.
Yes.
I love this. But before that, we get excellent grandpa Mike. And mm-hmm. any of his reactions with Kaylee are so sweet. I love watching a good, like a good parent, but be a great, you know, like a good grandparent. Him, you know, pulling up to drop her off at home, you know, playing a little game, asking if a rhinoceros would be a good pet. And she's like correcting him. Oh, you're just not silly. You know, that's not his nose. Yeah. That's his horn.
Yeah. Well, I bet you'd come running if he has food, you know. He's being a very good grandparent. And again, they're introducing these stakes.
Yes.
Very smartly. Like, this stuff is going to come up during this series as well.
Yeah.
But be a huge part of Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her a few Mylar balloons. She says, what about the rest? He goes, those are for me. you're too old for those. You're never too old for balloons. And we cut to nighttime. I don't know. Do you know if this is a thing that would work? Have you seen like a Mythbusters on this?
I'm positive because Mythbusters did so many. They did so many Breaking Bad specials. I don't know. This was pulled in. This also happened in a Malcolm in the Middle episode.
Yes.
I didn't look to see. I don't know how much actual wiring is exposed on a pole level transformer.
It seems like it'd be zero.
Yes.
To me. So it doesn't, but it also, it's badass. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, like it's just cool, but it, if it's this easy, like we got crimes to do in Minecraft. we cut to nighttime. Mike approaches this warehouse, and he lets the balloons go into this power line
mm-hmm.
that shorts it out and cuts the power.
Yeah. I love the music in this. This may be fine. Beastie Boys is so it's Shambhala by the Beastie Boys. It made me find their instrumental album and it's so good.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't really like the Beastie Boys vocal stylings very much.
Yeah.
The you know, I like to say something at the end, everyone says it.
Yes.
Kind of tenor that every single song has.
Yep.
But the production's great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So. But he's, you know, this is him being an operative, right?
Yeah.
You know, these two armed cartel men come out of the, you know, come out of the warehouse to investigate. And Mike ices them, you know, shoots them with a suppressed pistol and then two taps.
He shoots
them
both of them in one shot, which is a little bit extra.
Yeah.
He shoots through both their heads with one bullet, like a very difficult mission in Siphon Filter 2.
And then he two taps him for good measure. Yeah.
Yep. Goes inside. There's this Buddhist shrine and a receptionist who's begging for her life. Mike goes, you know, tells her shush, undoes her shoe and throws it.
Mm-hmm.
Another gunman comes charging out, firing blindly. Like he's a summon in Marvel versus Capcom. so he shoots that guy.
And then walks down to the end of this hallway where he sees a man. This is Mr. Chow.
One of his guys.
Yeah, it was one of his guys. It's one of the chemical suppliers. He's sitting at his, you know, at his desk and he's got his hands raised. Just don't shoot. And then Mike notices his eye moving, and realizes somebody's on the other side of this wall. And I love this, you know, unspoken.
That's really good.
Mike points his gun at the wall, and then queries, and then Mr. Chow raises his hands. So Mike can raise and lower it. So he will end up shooting the, you know, henchman in the head through the wall.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's real good. He has to raise it and lower it. He has to adjust it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does so, shoots him, and then he just walks up and disappointed. Chow, do you have anything you want to tell me here?
Yeah. And
this is the cartel moving in on one of Gus's chemical suppliers is how I read this.
Yes. Yeah.
Like this is one of his people. And I don't know, you know, Chow had a gun to him. I don't know how you're supposed to tell him, mm-hmm. you know, at this point. I've always been a little bit unclear on what actually happened here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can help me. Maybe you got it. But, you know, he says that and Chow says, I didn't do anything of my own free will. They forced me into it. You know, I didn't tell them anything. You know, Mike says, hey, is that lady still here? And she yells in Mandarin. It's great. Just, where would I go? All this stuff.
It's a very long response. And then Chow interprets it. She says, yes.
I love it. Real cute. And Mike says, is she a good driver? And, you know, she's a camera, good, dependable driver, and shoots him in the hand. There, his hand is holding up.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I was taking a note. Yeah.
She, you know, he says, truck will be coming in the morning. Have her drive you to the hospital. I strongly recommend you return our calls next time. So I get that as a bit, but if he was being held by the cartel, he couldn't return the call.
Yeah, I think this might be a little bit of like early character weirdness on Mike's part.
Yeah,
if you go to a hospital with a gunshot wound,
very much so.
Yeah, even if it's a through and through on your hand. You know, this is going to raise the profile, right?
I was high fiving a bullet and fucked up.
Yeah,
you know, trying to high five the Punisher and I messed up.
This seems like an unwise move, even if the idea, you know, like, hey, just figure something out next time. You know, you don't let them step all over us. You know, what he's trying to communicate makes sense to me. How he communicates it is a bit much, I think.
It's also a thing too, where I think this might have been. This being their warehouse and Chow being one of his guys is maybe also retconned.
Yeah, because you of know, Madrigal.
Yeah, one of his specific people. I think he shows up later in the season when Lydia puts out the bounty on everybody in season 5.
Okay.
I think Chow shows up again then. But yeah, he's one of the guys he knows through Madrigal and through that web.
Yes.
You know, his guys. So he's, you know, have her drive. He runs away, you know, because he's got shot in the hand. Like, she's going to need her shoe. He has to come back and grab her shoe. And Mike takes the passports.
Yes.
You know, brings them back to Gus.
Yeah. They crossed at Laredo, you know, they were looking for weaknesses and they didn't find any. Right. So this is terrible news. Pressure is coming from a front that Gus thought he had more time with. And then he asks about Pinkman, you know, Mike's making inquiries. He's going to find out.
So we cut over. Walt and Gail are back in the lab in the middle of a cook. And Gail's kind of looking at him weird. Victor is observing them. They're in the panopticon now.
Yeah.
And Gail says, hey, when did that start?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because new thing with the guy you're replacing, some drama.
He calls it drama.
I love it. You know, human lives.
Yeah. And this is where Gail offers his reassurances. You know, like, if you're worried about working with me again, I intend to get everything perfect this time. Everything is going to go your way. And Walt reassures him, saying like, no, you're going to be fine. But Gail insists, you know, teach me. Right.
Yep. We cut to Gail's apartment. And this is where we get his beautiful character development through apartment and through his dorky music taste. Here, really, really great.
Yeah. The first shot,
both the times when he's singing, he's really good.
The first shot, it's top of a bookshelf and there are vintage cameras and then there are Japanese Oni masks. We see he's reading Stephen King's Everything's Eventual. That short story is really good, but it's not one of the better collections, you know? So it's kind of a completionist on that front. We see his bookshelf. He's got some books on Marxism. You know, as a libertarian, know your enemy, right? And the only other book that I could see was a biography of Buckminster Fuller, Bucky.
Great. Bucky.
There's a potato block.
People on the wiki were like, it said he was a libertarian, but he has books on Marxism. Check, please.
Yeah.
Like, he's the kind of guy who would keep every book he had in college.
Yes.
Is how I assume this.
Yeah.
What this is.
You know, I am.
You know, he's never going to throw away a college textbook.
Yeah. I am of the left, but I have books about fascism. Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. He's singing along to Italian vocal jazz by a group called Quartiera Cetera, Crappa Pallata. It's a song about a very, very sad man who is bald, and he's keeping up. Like, it starts out slow, and as he's going to water his plants, it gets faster, and he's even doing falsetto for the lady parts.
It's a little stunt thing.
Yeah.
I love it when that pops up again in Better Call Saul as well, where he's doing something similar.
Yeah.
You know, he's got these soda siphons on his kitchen counter, a mounted telescope, a mandolin, a hookah, and again, three overlapping rugs on top of carpet. And then the cherry on the cake to me, you know, knock on the door, it's Gus in friend mode.
Uh-huh.
And Gail's very surprised and he offers Gus a creme de menthe. That's so funny. Like, do you want some liquid toothpaste as a cocktail?
So very specific.
Yeah, it's real gross, yeah, too, but just very, very well written as just like this fucking weirdo dork.
Yeah. And I am making fun of Gus. If somebody came and looked at my house and the stuff that I have up, you know, I'm a fucking dork too. My low level contempt for Gale in this aspect of his life comes from familiarity.
Oh yeah. And also just, it's a character sketch.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like Gale is exhausting and he looks like he's exhausted. Yeah. You know, nice guy, good guy, doesn't deserve what happens in this episode, but, you know, exhausting. And Gus says, you know, listen, I want to know how long it would be before you can take over the lab yourself.
If push comes to shove.
If push comes to shove and Gale is concerned, like what, you know, what does that mean? Gus says, you know, has Walt ever talked to you about his personal life?
Yeah.
You know, he has cancer. It's very grave.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
You know, he won't. I ask him about it and he just, you know, we have these little fun talks just like me and you do. you know, I like Walt. This is a normal workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't talk to me. I don't know that he's fully accepted the reality of it. So if you ask him, he's probably not going to tell you. You know, and Gus explains, like, I can't afford to shut down even for a week.
Right.
Because overhead, I had to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be any moment.
Yeah. And Gil says, you know, we might need a few cooks together. You know, he's really good. He's a master, right? Mm-hmm. And Gus's face, you know, kind of hardens.
And he goes, well, just one or two cooks. And then Gus like, nope.
One more.
And then Gus, big smile. Happy Gus comes back out.
Yeah.
You know?
And Gus reassures him, I believe in you. You know, you've got this. I know that when the time comes, you will be ready.
Yep. You know, we cut over to the lab. Walt and Gale are scrubbing a tank. And Gale says, so are there any tricks to de-filtering the salination
to purging the catalyst bed?
Yeah, no, we'll go over it. And Victor is also studying them and taking notes to his detriment.
Yeah.
He's going to wish he hadn't done that. it's going to turn out. So we cut over to Saul's office. He's on the floor with his she machine. Takes a call on Bluetooth. You know, tell him I'm in conference.
Again, you know, just character study stuff. Just him having this chi machine. That's a little device that he has that his feet are up on that wiggle his own.
Shakes his leg.
Yeah, shakes his legs.
It's a little wiggler.
Yeah.
You can have. I love Mike. You know, keep your away from whatever this is.
From whatever hell this is, exactly.
Really good.
Yeah.
Mike walks in anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here for Jesse's address. Saul says, oh, Jesse Pinkman in the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike means business. You know, turns off the machine. Saul at this point still kind of thinks Mike's works for him.
Yep.
He keeps calling him his PI. He has not had the revelation yet.
No. You know.
This is him learning what Walt learned last episode, basically.
Right. You know, he says, hey, you know, if I handed over Jesse, you know, it's a matter of principle. If I handed over Jesse, you know, what would you think of, you know, that I would turn you over? Like, you're not going to trust me. And Mike says, I'd trust the hole in the desert that I'd leave you in. And Saul says, yeah, that's an argument, which I don't know, given what they went through. Talking about a hole in the desert seems like a raw nerve.
It's pretty intense. You know, so, you know, Mike, you know, threatens to beat Saul at this point. He's like, don't make me beat you until your legs don't work. And Saul goes, I can't tell you. I wouldn't live with myself if I told you.
Yeah.
He lunges a little bit, but he's like, yeah, but who is to say I didn't write it down somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on my little notepad for my own personal use. Don't touch my desk while I leave the room. I'm going to go make myself an Escafé. Again, really great character. Like, this is a, you know, Vince Gilligan is really good at this part of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, this is the dude who, like, goes makes himself an Escafé.
Uh-huh.
You know, and all the Gale stuff. Like, this is a big Vince Gilligan strength.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, just characterization through material things. God, I love it.
The things they care
about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God, I love that. That is one of my favorite things in the world.
It's a really hard, deceptively hard thing to do, I think. And it ends up making the difference between good characterization and bad characterization more often than I think people give it credit for.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like a second or third level of understanding somebody, I think, you know, because like you have to have known and observed a Gale to dress that set the way that you did. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the thing that when in Watch Out for Fireballs, I'm always harping on when I like to explore people's apartments.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Not saying that, you know, Deus Ex Mankind Divided does this as well mm-hmm. as Breaking Bad, but that's what I'm looking for.
Oh, it's one.
I think it's a really interesting avenue of characterization.
Yeah, personal archaeology. There's that yep. book. It's by a French author, Georges Perec, which is just like a moment in time and told entirely by. It's called Life: A User's Guide, and it's like a moment in time. It's like a mystery story, but told like through what is in people's apartments. Pretty much. And like in that kind of characterization, it's really neat. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's super neat.
Yeah.
Mike gets the address from the small town in Virginia.
Yeah. This has to be a place that, that Gilligan is familiar with. I believe he's from Virginia. Yeah. This is Dilwyn, a town of 450 people. Yeah.
Yep. We cut over to Saul driving Walt out of the laser tag, place. And Walt, you know, this is a waste of time. I'm buying the car wash. Saul says, no, wait until you see this.
Yeah. This is a show.
Yeah, you ever play laser tag? It's good cardio. Plus, you get to shoot the kids. You know, real good. Victor pulls up behind them. One thing I noticed when you were saying this place needs a Danny.
Yeah.
And the Danny being the other guy. This is called something laser tag.
It's Hinkle Laser Tag. Yeah.
Different last name than that character.
Yeah.
For what that's worth.
I was really hoping you wouldn't notice that.
I don't know why I latched onto that detail. I have no investment in proving you wrong just for the sport of it. I was just like, that would be really, really cool if they did that. And they should have done that.
They should have. Yeah. Like, you know,
the way you had it was right. I get the world is that, which is the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get wrapped up in that shit sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well,
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea. And maybe, you know.
Yeah, my desperation, like doing like Google searching for like Hinkle. Maybe that's a town outside of Albuquerque. No, maybe that's a maybe that is a like a neighborhood, right? Neighborhood. Yeah. You do a search for Hinkle, New Mexico? It's the name of a fun center in Albuquerque, like a you know, bumper boats, bumper car kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Best case scenario, it also could have been one of those made up Southern words that Vince Gilligan likes.
No, yeah.
Maybe it's just like you ever get a possum and a Hinkle and he just like throws that out in a commentary like everyone understands what it means. They get inside and Saul's keeping it up and then Walt goes, no, we're good. You know, like, this is a show. Again, they're bugs.
It sounds like, you call this good? Like, I'm being, you know, my own PI is squeezing me. You know, you think my car's bugged? Like, I'm really going to need to rethink my pricing. Then he points at the camera and says, that goes double for you, hip hop. And Jesse's there. This is where Jesse's hiding out.
Yeah, and Saul, I'm going to leave you to talk. I'm going to see if they have Tetris or something. I love this arcade that just has all the machines on, but with covers over them.
Yeah.
Just a nice little dream there. Mm-hmm. And Walt and Jesse check in on each other in like a caring way.
Yes.
This is not them playing against each other.
No, no.
You know, these moments are very precious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you holding up? Jesse's like, yeah, I don't know. How are you holding up? And Walt's like, well, you know, they're planning to kill me and let Gail take over.
Yeah.
You know, Gail's fastidiousness is really all that's saving me right now. Right. Is that he wants to be sure.
Right. And Jesse asks, like, so what are we going to do? You know, like, this is going to end, you know, it's going to end with you dying. And Walt says, you know what we do. And Jesse doesn't accept this. He says, there has to be another way. You know, this is bad. This is serious. You could go to the cops. You have so much information. You'll be fine. I can run. And, you know, Walt says, never the DEA.
Yeah, because Walt's preserving is not his life.
Right.
Right. Walt is preserving his reputation. Going to the DEA tanks all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's what ultimately happens to him.
Yeah.
You know, in the series and stuff, but he's not just protecting his life.
Yeah.
He's operating under this whole series under the assumption his life is forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
That was never the point. Going to the DEA basically would ruin his rep and his memory and make the whole thing not worth it.
Oh, and he'd lose all the money to Rico. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on top of it, like he would lose the money as well, but also he wants his kids to think of him as a provider, you know, and all these things. And that is not how they think of him. They think of him as a drug dealer through this. Also, as we'll find out, like that would not have saved him. He would still be murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Walt says like there has to be only one chemist. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one chemist that Gus has, that's leverage.
Yeah.
Gus can't shut down even for a week. And Jesse goes, you know, I can't do it. It's like you said, I'm not a murderer. Like I can't do it.
No.
And then Walt says, no, I'll do it. I just need help.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm always being watched. They never let me be alone with Gale. We don't even know where he lives. There's no sign of him on the internet. All I need is an hour. Like, you know,
yep.
if you can help me, I can. And then he says this with regret, you know, just like, let's go make it an accident. Both of their stomachs turning on this, but especially yeah. Jesse's stomach turning. This is cold-blooded murder, right? This is, yeah. you know, only again, second order, third order about self-preservation. This is plotting in advance to kill somebody who doesn't really deserve it.
And we're going to see the consequences of this
yeah.
for all of season four on Jesse.
Right.
This is a huge Rubicon for Jesse to cross.
Right. This is breaking a seal. Yeah.
Yep. Jesse again says there's got to be another way. Well, it says, you know, there's not. The thing is, if it's you and I or Gale, I'm going to choose us every time.
Yes.
All you need to do is get Gale's address. And Jesse is reluctant, but he goes, listen, I saved your life. Are you going to save mine?
Yeah.
You know, you owe me this. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's not him playing chess.
Right.
Right. Like, I think he believes that. And it is arguably true.
Yes.
All these things.
Yeah.
So Walt's at home playing with Holly. She's playing with his glasses.
This is throwing such huge death flags, you know?
Yes. It is slowly taking one last look at something in the language of cinema.
Yep. His burner phone rings. You know, he's got to go to the bathroom. You know, it's Jesse. Jesse has Gale's address. You know, gives it to him. You know, Gale's home. As far as Jesse can tell, nobody's watching. And Jesse, one last time, begs Walt not to do this. You know, it's just too much.
Yep. And Walt says, no, you know, he's got to do it. He hangs up,
mm-hmm.
you know, goes out of his car. And just as he's about to get in, Victor pulls up. Hey, there's a chemical leak in the lab. Okay. I'll follow you. They tell me to bring you. I bring you. Get in the car. You know, creepy dead-eyed Victor.
Yeah.
Here.
So they go to the laundromat and Victor marches him in. Victor is pointedly staying behind him. So he can't get away. And there's Mike standing by the dryer saying,
super menacing, yeah, this whole thing.
You got something mighty stinky down there. You're going to need to take a look. The sooner you do it, the sooner we're all going to be able to go home.
Yep. And Walt, you know, nobody's being stupid. Nobody's fooled.
Right.
And they don't expect him to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he turns around, he begs them not to do this. You know, you don't have to do this. And he's just, you know, unfortunately, I do, Walter. And Walt starts begging, you know, kind of, you know, begging, let me talk to Gus, you know, I'll cook for free. I'll get, you know, and Mike goes, Walter, shut up. I can't do anything.
Yes.
Like, I love this as a expression of Mike-ness that we're going to get in the next season. Like, these things where you can't really appeal to Mike's humanity.
Right.
With stuff like this in these situations, if he doesn't have a way out of it,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to default to murdering people.
Yeah.
As a matter of course, this comes up multiple times in Better Call Saul.
Yes.
You know, he tries to find another way out of it.
Yeah.
But if it's what has to happen, it's what has to happen.
It's what leads to Better Call Saul's Gale going.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, I'll give you Jesse. And Mike goes, okay, give me an address. And Walt's like, you know, he moves around. I'll call him and I'll have him meet me,
mm-hmm.
you know, just my phone.
Yeah.
You know,
just saying like how tense this was on first watching, like,
oh my God.
Like he's selling him out.
Yeah.
Walt is selling Jesse out. Oh no.
Yep.
But this is his play, you know, Mike lets him call, to arrange the meeting, right? Thinking nothing's going on. And Walt says, yeah, I couldn't do it. You're going to have to do it. You have a 20-minute lead if you start now. And Mike,
go.
And Mike takes the phone. Mike takes the phone. He's like, what the hell was that?
Victor immediately goes.
Yeah.
To go, you know, to get to where Gale is.
Yeah.
And he cocks the gun. He says, you might want to wait. Why is that? You know, he goes, because your boss is going to need me.
Your boss is going to need me. The specific inflection on that. Then he says, you know, Gale's address, something, something, Wantabo Avenue. And he goes, yeah.
Yep. Very self-satisfied with this winning chess move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Victor runs off. Mike calls Gale, and this is a real coincidence.
Yes.
Here. If Gale was not listening to loud music,
mm-hmm.
this wouldn't have this whole thing would have been different.
Yes.
You know, this is just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. The tea kettle is whistling. He's listening to a lot of music. He can't hear the phone.
Yeah. And Gail's coffee nerdness, you know, hot beverage nerdness. He's taking the kettle's temperature with a laser thermometer.
Very funny. Yep. For tea.
Yeah.
There's a knock at the door. The phone stops vibrating. He goes and it's Jesse, and Jesse's very upset, draws on Gail.
Yeah.
And Gail reacts like you would.
Yeah.
If a stranger, you know, he does not recognize Jesse, even though they've met.
Yeah.
You know, a stranger comes up and just puts a gun immediately to your face.
Yeah. Saying, take whatever you want. If you're here for money, I've got a lot of money, you know, which is true. But, you know, he realizes, he sees that Jesse is crying, you know, and he makes his appeal, you know, saying, you know, don't do this. You don't have to do this. And he's right. But we get the shot, you know, from kind of Gail's point of view, as Jesse's point of the gun, you know, eyes are all welled up, you know, red. The expression work on this is amazing. And then he fires. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the 2 degrees of camera movement that made people lose their fucking minds, Gary.
Yeah, this was considered at the time a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because the camera moves a little bit, so you think that maybe Jesse shot past him or maybe gave him a warning shot. You know, as is Jesse's style.
Yeah.
he nicked him in the ear and now he's going to like send him to hiding or something.
Yeah.
It always confused me that one that people thought that was the cliffhanger, where to me the reason why it felt like a cliffhanger is that it was a whole season to find out what happened afterwards.
Yes.
Like it does feel like the mid part of this story.
Yeah.
And the next episode, season one, is going to start right after this happens.
Yes.
You know, with them in custody, basically from Gus, you know, with this new status quo. So it does feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels like a cliffhanger in that respect, but not if Gail bites it.
Right.
People were very literal pilled in this.
It's
to a detrimental.
It made me feel like I had bugs under my skin because like it kind of reeked of we need to find a way for Jesse not to have done this.
Yeah.
They wanted to protect him. And my reaction was pretty much, do you think that would be a better story?
Yeah.
It's like,
and it wouldn't have. And when you said like, you know, technically he doesn't have to do this, like that is true.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand why he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is saving Walt's life. Walt just saved his life.
Yeah.
Walt didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
For it to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah. You know, like he technically doesn't have to do it, but you have to read Walt's pride as a force of nature, just as real as all of the other immovable objects that have boxed Jesse into this situation. Right.
Pride. And then also just like there's a cold heartedness you'd have to have. Like, mm-hmm. yes, murder is very cold hearted,
mm-hmm.
but like somebody just letting somebody, you know, die is hard.
Yeah.
Regardless of questions of their guilt.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like the armchair quarterback way to look at this is like, oh, he should just let Walt die, mm-hmm. and run for self-preservation, and Walt's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes.
Yes.
Like those things are true, but that's not really how people work.
No.
You know, if somebody who I had a long history with, who for lack of any better word was family,
mm-hmm.
was like, you have to do this murder or I will die, it would not be just an easy decision.
Yeah.
You know, the way that people watching this want, mm-hmm. to be, I guess.
And that's Jesse's immovable object.
Yes.
Right. His loyalty, you know, the fact that he and Walt, their fates are tied. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then that's the end of the episode. And it's a what a brutal wait it was.
Oh yeah.
Between seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Agonizing. You know. Agonizing.
Yeah. Absolutely agonizing. They should make that kind of thing illegal. I don't know what kind of thing in that sentence it is, but shouldn't do it. Yeah.
Just make the whole show at once and give it to me.
Yeah, just download it directly into my brain.
Oh gosh,
great episode.
Yeah, just the maneuvering that happens, you know, the you know, Walt's winning chess move about it, and his, you know, just the, like, not the you're not happy when he gives Gail's address and says yeah, but like there is like a, there's a triumph in seeing the win, I think.
Yeah. And that's what short-circuited tons of people's brains to not like Skylar.
Yes,
during this entire thing was enjoying watching a chess master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a big part of the appeal of Breaking Bad specifically.
Yeah.
You know, over Better Call Saul is you're watching these moves, and there's an element of it that is just, that's really cool on a, and that seems like a real weak word to use, but cool on a level that a lot of shit doesn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just cool. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has like all of the emotional truth and depth and like beauty.
Mm-hmm.
That things happen, but purely from a plot perspective, watching stuff like that is cool.
It's fun to watch cool stuff happen.
It's incredibly fun to watch cool stuff happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a more complicated carb than like a big sky explosion or something. You know, it's somewhere between that, but it's like a thing. Part of that reaction I have with this is engaging with the Better Call Saul versus Breaking Bad like discourse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people being, you know, one of these is superior because it's a little headier and has less of this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, mm-hmm. a balanced diet includes this.
I think it's also a matter of like seeing both parts of this world and kind of the different valences of it is also valuable, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, different characters are going to have different stakes, but also like, the cartel shit is where all of the cartoony stuff happens, and people just rejected that out of hand. So
yeah, it's a different genre.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crime genre thing,
mm-hmm.
versus just like a law.
Yeah.
Procedural. And the mix between the two is what I want.
Yeah.
You know, for me, having both is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks everyone for listening. Next week or next time, we're going to be back with season 3 bonus features,
mm-hmm.
Season 3 kind of wrap up, first and worst, and your thoughts on season 3.
Right.
If you're hearing this, it is probably too late.
Oh, it's definitely too late. Yeah.
It's definitely too late, mm-hmm. but it's not too late for season 4. You
nope.
can always write in season thoughts at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Please do. Click that button and write in. Try to keep it limited to a response or limited to the season that we're on. But if you have like a story of like, oh, me and my family member bonded over this show, blah blah blah. I love that shit. That pretty mm-hmm. much is a way to get this get your shit included. But for this show, pretty much everything gets in anyway. I want to read people bonding about media. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, any kind of specific, season 3.
Yes.
Things what we want. Rate and review our show.
Please do.
On, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Join us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. If you'd like to support us, mm-hmm. Get all of our other bunch of bonus shows and just, you know, let us keep doing this.
Please.
Which is great. And join us in thanking Gwen, who is our producer, who edited this episode and composed our theme music.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
Yeah. And I would say until next time, don't open the door.